Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's Eve. Stole that from Kelly Horn. So I'll try not to bore you too much this morning, kids. I know you hear me often. I know I'm not that exciting, so I'll do my best. But this morning, we can all kind of take a sigh, because we're going to have a little fun in church this morning. And because the madness of our simple Christmas is just about over. I'm a huge fan of this time of year, but I always disliked that post-Christmas feeling. I'm sure you guys can relate. There's a build-up. You know, we go and hang lights, fancy decorations. I hate taking out the Christmas tree afterwards. You get the needles all over the place, then you have to vacuum 10 times. The elaborate meals that I don't have to prepare are pretty good. Cards to send out, we didn't send out cards. And of course, gifts to be given and received. And once it's all over and the dust settles and our family leaves, which might be a good thing in some cases, it can feel a bit strange, right? You all know that feeling I'm talking about, right? It's that looming Monday. If you work here or you go back to school, it's that, like right now I go to work tomorrow for the first time in a long time, it feels like. And it's looming over me because I know the grind is just waiting for me at work. It's like when you return home from a great vacation as well. When I was a kid, Christmas was quite magical time of year. Every year, I'd wish for that one gift or lots of gifts that I wanted so badly. Any kids here get an awesome Christmas gift this year? Raise your hand. All right, so here's what I want everyone to do. I want everyone to, on the count of three, say the most awesome Christmas gift they got this year. I want you to say it at the same time and as loud as you can. One, two, three. I think I heard a tie. Tony, did you get a tie? No? Okay. But we all had an awesome Christmas gift, I'm sure. I remember I go back to this one year where I received this awesome, amazing Christmas gift. It was a Sega Genesis. 1989, right? Josiah, can you bring that up here, man? Josiah's going to show you what this is like, because I'm sure none of you kids know what this is. Yep, Sega Genesis here. So this is a game console, not like the ones we have today. You actually have to get a memory stick, and it takes cartridges, right? There's none of that. We download all our games. You can do all these great things with the Sega Genesis, like Sonic the Hedgehog and James Pond. And I just remember opening that gift and being so excited. I played the Sega for hours, kind of like Fortnite, way too long. But I played it for hours. But I also remember my cousins getting a similar gift. My cousins got a Super Nintendo. So Sega versus Super Nintendo was a big thing back then. And I remember going to my cousin's house and playing different games like Mario Kart. I can't remember what other games they had. Maybe Home Alone. There's a Home Alone game. It was not that great. But it was fun, you know? So at the time, I was like, man, I really want a Super Nintendo. It diminished the gift of the Sega Genesis, right? Because I was like, man, how many times can you play Sonic the Hedgehog or James Pond? Really? And I always felt as a kid Super Nintendo had better games. You see, gifts can be kind of disappointing. They can lose their luster. They can break. They can wear down. They can get stained. You know how many ugly sweaters I received over Christmas? I stained them on purpose. So my experience is that the desired prize possession loses its appeal and leaves us feeling let down. And this is true as an adult as well. You know, that new job that you always wanted? I had a buddy that left Maxim, went to Chick-fil-A. He thought it was his dream. We called him a chicken clucker. But it wasn't what he wanted, really. He came back, you know? So the bucket list car we desire could be a lemon. The exotic location we've always wanted to travel to. All can seem amazing in the moment, but usually end up not being quite what we thought they would be. They might be exciting and wonderful at the time, but eventually reality of life has a way of squeezing the joy out of our contentment and happiness, and we very easily feel despair. But there is good news this morning, right? Amen? God doesn't want us to miss out on the greatest gift of all, and that brings us to the title of the message. How do you use this saying? Oh, there we go. Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving. As we enter New Year's, it aligns where we wanted to go with this Advent season. It is a simple yet profound notion, and it is Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving. See, folks, the gift of Christ, God becoming one of us, was not meant to be this heartwarming story that gives us the warm and fuzzies, you know, the unicorns, the lollipops, over the holidays. But if we were to treat him that way, then we would be no better than I was when I was a kid, eagerly expecting and desiring something I was looking for, but then always disillusioned and disappointed by the end, and then desperately looking for that next best Super Nintendo. How many people, especially when you were kids, got a gift from someone that they didn't really like? Raise your hands if you got a really bad gift. Right? I have a great example to share with you. When I was a younger Bobby, many, many moons ago, right? I'm only 32, guys. I was watching TV with my dad, and we saw a Christmas commercial where Santa brought someone snowman poop for Christmas, right? Anyone ever see that kind of commercial? I thought it was so funny. My dad looked at me and said, "If you don't behave, you could get that too." And I was like, you know, a teenager, or I don't even know how old I was. Not right if I was under 10. But I looked at him and was like, yeah, right, that's never going to happen, right? Well, fast forward to Christmas Eve, and in my family, there's a tradition where we could open stockings whenever. So it didn't matter what time we woke up, we could go down and open stockings. We couldn't open anything else, or it'd be death to us all. But I remember running down the stairs, going to grab my stocking, and I grabbed it, and it felt real funny. It didn't feel like a normal stocking, right? This is not the same stocking I had. It didn't feel like a normal stocking. So I reached in, and I pulled out a Ziploc bag, right? I didn't want to do that to you guys this morning, but the Ziploc bag contained something brown, right? It contained something brown, and as I investigated further, as I kept looking into the bag, I was like, is this brownies? What is this, you know? And so I saw like these little strands of like hay, almost, and I was like, oh man, I'm a pretty good investigator. This looks like horse poop, right? And lo and behold, it was horse poop. So my dad took it a step further, and I received horse poop in my stocking. But he paid his penance, because as I discovered that, I started crying. Imagine that. And I think I was like 9, if we're honest with ourselves. But 25, 15. Thanks, guys. Thanks. I cry all the time, you know? But as I started crying, it was a loud cry. It was like one big cry. And I remember running into my parents' room at 3 in the morning, you know, waking them up and saying, what is this? You know, what is this? They ended up having stuff behind the tree for me, for my stocking. But it was torture, man. That's like psychological warfare. I still am going to counseling for that today. And it also started something very ugly in my family. My sisters thought it was hilarious. They just thought it was the funniest thing ever. So the next year, I got a fish head. I was like, this isn't cool, you know? See, there are appropriate gifts and very inappropriate gifts, aren't there? Some people are wonderful gift givers, and some people, like my dad, not so much. But the greatest giver of gifts and the greatest gift of all is God sending his son and as a gift of salvation for us all. He was the most appropriate gift by the most appropriate giver. See, folks, an appropriate gift reveals the love of the one giving it. As a young kid, it was hard to see the heart of my grandma when she bought me socks, underwear, or that really ugly sweater. After all, they certainly weren't exciting gifts, right? Clothes Christmas, I would call it. It's terrible. See, my lack of insight held me back from being able to grasp the love behind the gift, because it was a need. There's something absolutely amazing about seeing a person's face. Even as a dad, when I look at Sophia and I saw her open Christmas presents this year, it was amazing. She like lit up. It was really cool. So the joy of gifts now for me is being the giver. You know, on the opposite side, there's nothing worse than seeing the look on someone's face when they're disappointed or let down by something you give them. I definitely have done it to my mom in the past. I imagine that God feels the same way when we don't fully respond to the gift of his son. When we miss the heart of the Father who took a part of himself and placed it in the world, only to grow up, be rejected, and be crucified on our behalf. The gift of Jesus, who took the full weight and penalty of our sins upon himself, revealing the heart of the Father's perfect love for us. I pray this morning for all of us that we would not miss that love as we enter 2019. An appropriate gift meets the needs of the one receiving it. Amen? Some of the best gifts are the ones that are most practical. You know, this year, I'm really adulting, you know. I got a heater for my basement because it's cold. It's pretty sweet. And my mother-in-law got me a nice drill set that I always wanted. You know, it actually works. So that's good. But why is Jesus an appropriate gift? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. I've tried so many times. Just take my word for it. Don't try it yourself. If we think we can, in the Bible it says we deceive ourselves. If you don't believe me, you know, you can try it on your own. Try living a perfect life and see how it goes for a while. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. Jesus Christ is a gift that never loses its luster. It's not like that ugly sweater that we want to stain on purpose. It's not like that Sega Genesis, you know, that loses its luster after a while. Jesus Christ is a gift that keeps on giving. In the scriptures, the word gift is used a lot. However, when the Bible uses the word gift in the context of salvation, there are always one of two words. There are dorea and charisma. Dorea means free. Everyone likes the sound of a free gift, amen? And charisma means full of grace. It is something given above and beyond what is expected or deserved. Every New Testament occurrence of this word is related to a spiritual gift from God. It is what Jesus offers to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:10. It is called the free gift in Romans 5:15. It is the unspeakable or indescribable gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. This gracious gift is identified as the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38. In Romans 3:24, immediately following God's pronouncement of our guilt, we have this use of dorea, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ. The gift of salvation is free, and the motive for the gift is nothing more than the grace of the giver. Amen. Obviously, if something is a gift of grace, it cannot be earned. To work for something is to deserve it, and that would produce an obligation, a gift of debt. As it were, that is why works destroy grace. Romans 4:1-5. So we're going to look at Romans 6:23 this morning. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Repeat that one more time. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." When presenting salvation, New Testament writers carefully chose words that emphasize grace and freedom. As a result, the Bible could not be more clear. Salvation is absolutely free. I feel like sometimes I sound like a used car salesman or something. Salvation is absolutely free. It's the true gift of God in Christ. And we only have one responsibility with that gift. Only one. And it's to receive it by faith. Jesus is the absolute appropriate gift. What's cool about the gift when you receive it is you can't be unchanged. The gift of Jesus changes our identity. In 1 Peter 2:9 it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." The gift of Christ creates a rift between our old nature and Christ's nature, which becomes a new essence of our identity. He is a gift that breathes new life and conquers sin and death itself. When we think about our identity, a lot of times we always try to place our identity in other things. I struggle with this all the time. For kids, for you kids out there, it might be you try to find your identity in your friends. You know, when you're around a certain friend or around someone, you almost shapeshift and you try to be like them. You might find your identity in video games. I know a heck of a lot of you play Fortnite. I know it. It's addicting. It's an addicting video game. You might find your identity in that. Some of us find our identity in sports, right? We're a football player. That's what we do. That's all we are. You know, some of us might find our identity in education or Snapchat. I was hanging out with a kid yesterday, and he's like, "I have 150 snaps open." I was like, "Dude, how do you have that many friends?" For the adults, it might be possessions, right? We always want the greatest new gadget. That 55-inch TV is awesome. It's going to look great on my wall. Our titles at work. Oh man, I'm the area vice president of a super big company. This is great. This is where I find my identity. Our kids. Some of us try to live through our kids, but God is saying we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are people for God's own possession. We need to find our identity in Him and through Him. When we do that and receive the gift of Christ, we can't keep it to ourselves. Let's take a look at the second part of that verse. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." When you get an awesome present, all I want to do is tell all my friends about it. So I told you guys about my drill and my heater. But seriously, I know people that get gifts all the time, and they're like, "Bobby, this thing is awesome." Actually, I was over at Mike Dunson's last night, and he got Cade this cool like PS4 virtual reality headset, and I played it. We were playing Creed. Literally, I could get a workout. I was sweating. It was like, you know, it was awesome. But it made me want to get one. Right when I left, I was like, "I need to get one of those." And then I looked at my bank account, and I was like, "I do not need to get one of those." But we want to tell all our friends when we get an awesome gift. How does that change when Jesus gives us His gift? Or when God gives us Jesus, right? Do we go out and tell everyone that we know about that? So that leads us to our final point. A gift is only complete once it's received, right? A gift has no value if it's just simply given. There is a transaction that takes place when a gift is given. The giver gives it, and the recipient receives it. How a person receives a gift has everything to do with its value. The good news of the gospel this morning is that the absolute beautiful, free, and gracious gift of God is available for us all this morning. The heart of the Father was made bare in Christ. The perfect giver has given us perfectly appropriate gift that will never lose its luster. He is standing right there at the door of your heart, knocking and asking to be let in. Holidays are not easy for everyone, right? Some of us, you know, are going through a hard time right now. Some of us have had terrible things happen to them over the holidays. It's a solemn reminder. The gift I'm talking about this morning isn't just for someone that doesn't know Christ. The gift I'm talking about this morning is for everyone in this room. So if you're one of those people that when Christmas comes around, you dread it, you're like, oh, please, just go as soon as possible. Or if you're someone that struggles with your identity this morning, you find your identity in everything else but God, I want you guys to stand up. I'm not trying to call anyone out, really not. I think God wants to do something unique in hearts this morning. This wasn't in the message. This is how I'm feeling right now. So if you have a hard time going through the holidays this morning, don't be ashamed. If you want, I can even have people bow their heads. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're that person this morning, just raise your hand. Just lift your hand. If you're having identity issues this morning and you don't know where your identity lies, just raise your hand. And I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this great gift, God. I just pray that it starts to transform these people's lives, Lord. I pray that there is a transformation that happens, God. As we all receive this gift together this morning, God, I just pray for transformation, 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 God. I pray for hope, God. I pray that there would be hope, God, filled in these people's hearts, God. I pray that you would show them what a Christmas is all about, God. I pray that you show them what your son did, God, for us, God, that we don't deserve it, God. So I just pray right now for restoration, God. I pray for hope, God. I pray for peace, God. I pray for thankfulness, God. I cast out darkness right now in Jesus' name. I pray you break depression, God. I pray you break anxiety, God. I pray you break fear, God. I pray everyone in this room would have their identity sown in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, as we go into 2019, God, it's going to be a transformational year, God. So thank you, Lord. So for those who have not, maybe not have received that gift, don't know what that gift is all about, that I'm talking about this morning, I'd ask you to join with me in a simple prayer. So can we all bow our heads and close our eyes? I'm going to give you a couple seconds this morning to really think about it, to really process it in your heads. So let's just have a moment of silence real quick. All right, you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you for wanting to be my Savior. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.